The thing that I find about human design is that your soul already knows what it wants to do.
Hi, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, you'll get my conversations with peak performing thought leaders, creatives, and entrepreneurs. Every week, I bring you the latest scoop on what these incredible people do to succeed and how you can get their secrets and do it too. And hey, do you want to become a member of the Innovative Virtuoso Club? Our virtuosos get all sorts of exclusive content like bonus episodes just for you and videos to boost creative adrenaline and problem-solving juice. Go to isoldat.com/virtuoso to learn more. And now, let's get on with the show. Hey there, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg, and I'm thrilled you're here. I'm also really, really, really happy to introduce you to Felicia Baird. You've got to hear this because this is so cool. Felicia is the founder of By Felicia Baird Co. and the host of the Ease and Flow podcast. She uses something called human design and her NLP training to help people unblock their limiting beliefs and reframe their life in a way that works for them. It's funny. It's so simple and yet so profound. I love it. I'm thrilled to welcome Felicia to the show. I'm so excited that you're here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
This is so exciting. So I love exploring the human brain and mind, and I'm always so thrilled and excited when I meet someone who is essentially walking down that path, but perhaps, you know, on a parallel street instead of the same one. So I wanted to just jump on in and ask you real quickly, what sparked your interest in human design? And in fact, before I even get into that, what is human design? What does that mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll start with that. So human design is essentially your energetic DNA, and it can kind of help us understand how we're meant to make decisions, communicate with people, set boundaries, build relationships, how we do business, all of the things. And it really just gives you a perspective, like it's really just unique to you, and it gives you all of the tools and confidence you need to step into your potential energy and learn how to use your energy correctly. So it kind of combines a bunch of different sciences into like one big human design thing. So it combines, you know, the astrology system, the chakra system, the Kabbalah, the tree of life, and all of those things combined. And the I Ching, and all of those things combined really help you. It kind of like when you punch in all of your information that you need, like your birthing information, which requires like your date of birth, time of birth, location of birth, mm-hmm. It spits out this funky looking graph. And within that graph is just a bunch of lines. And you could just tell where your energy is going, how to use your energy in a way that works for you. It spits out an energy type, which you're already kind of given. It's kind of like your zodiac sign. So you don't get to choose your energy type. Mm-hmm. And you're either going to be a manifesting generator, a reflector, a projector, or a manifester. And the idea is that no one piece of advice works for everybody. And society kind of makes you feel like you always have to do the same thing in order to get the same results as everyone else. And that is just not the case. Mm-hmm. When you show up and you use your energy in a way that flows for you, in a way that your soul has literally, like that your soul is literally meant to show up as in this world, things just flow better for you. Opportunities come into your life easier for you. You are feeling lighter, you're feeling happier because you're doing it your way, in a way that you're energetically meant to do it.
Okay, that's so fascinating. So something you don't know about me is that I wrote a book back in the early aughts called Life Elements, and it looked at earth, air, fire, and water, the ancient alchemical elements, and sort of from an Ayurvedic, from Chinese medicine, from even astrology a little bit because of the quality of that. Can you talk a little bit about how all of those different disciplines relate and are part of this idea of human design? Like, what role does astrology play? What role does Chinese medicine play? Are there specific aspects of it that you can attribute to, oh, this is this kind of soul design, or this is that kind of soul design? Or is it really a gestalt and you just pick and choose which one applies best?
So it works in a bunch of different ways. when you're looking right at your body graph, the first thing you're going to notice is a body with 9 centers. So off of the chakra system, usually it's 7 centers, but with human design, it's 9. And each center holds a different energy. So your root holds, that's where how you handle stress. Your solar plexus is how you handle emotions. Your sacral is how you handle creative energy. Your spleen is how you handle fear. And it's like your basic instincts. You know, when you work your way up the G, your G center is like your identity as a person. Your ajna is your head and your, like, how you have an open mind or a closed mind. Your head is how you get creativity and inspiration. Your throat is where you manifest from, and it's how you communicate. So they all hold different things. And so it depends whether it's defined, meaning that it's, when you're looking at your chart, it's colored in, that's consistent energy within you. And that is something that doesn't change. And then when it's white, that's where you pick up projections and, you know, maybe limiting beliefs from other people that's not meant to your, for you to carry around, but you do because that's how society makes you feel. But it's really because you're picking those fears or those, you know, motivations or lack of motivation or whatever from other people. So when you break it down and then you hear the story of like what your strengths are, what you're carrying around that you don't need to, it really just feels liberating to let go of that kind of stuff. That's the chakra system, like where the chakra centers come into play. Astrology, now that makes up your personality. So when you're looking at your graph, you'll see on the sides, there's a red column and a black column, and they all have all of the different planets. So you use your earth and your sun to determine what your special traits are here in this world, what you're here to do. And then also it holds your personality, your profile numbers, which is like how you energetically should be showing up in terms of like what your strengths are and stuff like that. So we use a lot of the earth and the sun to make up what's called your incarnation cross in your chart. And that is where I tell people what their purpose is, what their strengths are, their traits. Like, I mean, I'm not going to tell someone that they should be a lawyer kind of thing. It's kind of just like, it's sacred information that you can determine however you'd like, but it really just helps you guide what your strengths are and what your traits are. Now you could keep going further down, and that's where the transits happen, which I'm sure you know about the transits. So every time that, you know, some Mercury's in retrograde, or, you know, Jupiter takes over Venus or something like that. I mean, I'm not huge into astrology. I just, I love the human design aspect of it. But you could see in those planets, what gates are your strengths for the day or your strengths for the week or during a retrograde. It could be over a couple, like a month long period or a couple months. So you could see like, then you'll have, so it, within your gate, when you're looking at your chart, you have 64 numbers and they're either going to be defined or undefined. And when they're defined, those are your strengths as well. It doesn't have to be in your incarnation cross, but each planet holds a different gate or maybe the same gate. And then you might have, and then you could see kind of like what your strengths are that day or in that month, or, you know, the theme of the day for you.
Fascinating. So what if all of these things, these themes, these ideas, and human design in general, the thing that, that I'm wondering about is, what if it tells you that your soul's purpose is something you don't want to do? Like, what if it tells you that what you are meant to do is to be a messenger? You're meant to connect with people and you're meant to broadcast something, and you're really an introvert and all you really like to do is like sit at home and read books. And this is a silly example, but it, but what if it's such a big difference between sort of what the human design element tells you is your greatest strength and it's not?
That's a great question. The thing that I find about human design is that your soul already knows what it wants to do. So a lot of the time when I'm talking to people and I'm giving them readings, when I'm telling them that they, you know, what's in their chart, they are either so disconnected from it because they follow the shoulds so much in life. Like they follow like, well, I wish I should, like I did this because I felt like I should, or I did this because I felt like I needed to. And a lot of the times they become so disconnected from trusting themselves, and they're always looking for external things to validate whatever they're doing because that's just how they were raised to do it. But when you really break it down and you talk to people, I usually like having a conversation with them beforehand. Like, okay, what is it that you do? Okay, what is it that you want to do? Like, what, like, where are you in your life? And a lot of the times it really does break, like, they're already doing what they want to do. Mm-hmm. They're already doing what their soul wants to do. They just haven't officially let themselves get there yet because they feel like they're not supposed to. They feel like everything that they've been working towards so far in their life, that's the complete opposite of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't think a lot of the times it's not that someone doesn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times it's that they're not letting themselves know what it feels like to do that because they just feel like they've already worked on this one thing for forever. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to let go of that yet, or they aren't ready to the idea of other people seeing them let go of that, if that makes sense. People create identities in their head of like what they should be, right? So I haven't met anyone that hasn't wanted, like, I've always met someone that is pretty far away from it, but mm-hmm. it's still within them. And that's why it's sacred, because it could be anything. Like if someone did need to put the message out to people, but they're an introvert, like how could you do it in a way that works for you? And that's where we use other parts of your human design to flow into it, because there are a bunch of different aspects that make up you as an energetic being. Mm-hmm. And when I'm telling you your incarnation cross, it's usually the last thing that I'll touch on, because if you can't work on the other energy types, like the other energy aspects of human design first, then you're not going to get to your incarnation cross, or it's not going to make sense, or it's going to seem so far-fetched. So we start from the basics and we work our way down.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, starting from the basics and anything is probably really good as far as getting to eventually the big idea, which in my mind and my heart makes all sorts of sense. Always have a stable foundation, you know, that you don't want to dive off a diving board that isn't stable. So I want to ask you something that you have on your website, because I stalked you a little. You mm-hmm. said something that I think is brilliant, and it relates to what we're talking about, because you said that you found that your greatest weakness was actually your superpower. And I love that. I think that's a wonderful way of looking at it. But I was wondering if you can talk about what that means to you with respect to what we're just saying about this idea of not knowing yourself, or maybe when you learn about yourself, suddenly things seem more clear, and yet it might even feel really foreign because it feels like a weakness instead of your superpower. Can you talk a little bit about what that means?
Yeah, of course. So that's when the following the shoulds come into play, that like people don't let themselves authentically be themselves because they're so wrapped up in like what their inner circle is going to think of them, or how they were raised, and no one likes to be the black sheep, right? So whenever you get this urge to do something that might be different from your authorities teaching you, or the school system teaching you, or people in your life just doing something very different, and you're the one that like wants to step out of the box a little bit, it feels weird. And then you feel like you're doing something wrong. So with one of my energy type, this is my energy type, is I'm a manifesting generator. Mm-hmm. So manifesting generators tend to be a little bit all over the place. They're the type of people that are going to be like an accountant in the day and a DJ by night kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they're not meant to hold on to do something for a very long time. So they might be super, super interested in following that gut energy of like, yes, this is what I want to do. And it might last 2 months. It might last 3 months. It might last a couple years. Mm-hmm. And then they're over it. And then they move on to the next thing. And I've done that so many times in my life without even knowing that that was what I needed to do. And people, like, I just genuinely felt like I couldn't finish something, or like, you know, I stick with something and then I quit, or it's not that I quit, I'm just over it. Mm-hmm. And then my energy wants to do something else. And then I move over to something else. And then, you know, because it's not the same for other people, maybe it seems a little bit foreign, they make comments like, why can't you just stick to something? Or like, why can't you just see something through? And then you tend to think that something's wrong with you when mm-hmm. that's the case. So when I found out that that's literally in my soul, like to do something for, you know, however long that I want to do it, and then I'm over it and I move on, or I rebrand, or I do something else, that's energetically within my DNA to do that. My soul wants to do that. So it felt liberating to hear that, because for my whole life, I felt like I was doing it wrong. And then you have other aspects like your authority, which is where you make decisions. Mm-hmm. Now, mine is an emotional authority. So Basically, it means that I don't get a say in how my mood is that day. Like, it's like, it's not that I'm moody. It's just that my feelings flow really heavily up and down. So I could wake up and I could be feeling pretty bummed and I don't know why, or I could wake up and I could feel really happy and I don't know why. Like, I wake up and my mood is kind of already set for me when I wake up, but then, you know, it ebbs and flows throughout the day. So then something happens where I'll snap out of it and then I'll be super happy. And then something snaps out of it and then I'll be kind of sad or like something like that. And realizing that feelings are not facts, but we tend to act on our emotions pretty quickly. So if I'm the type of person that's going to, you know, lash out every single time that I'm angry or make plans every single time that I'm happy, and then like the wave of being super excited goes down and then I'm neutral and then I'm like, I actually really don't want to do that. Now I'm going to back up and like take that invitation back kind of thing. So it's like riding the waves, but learning that I make decisions when I'm neutral. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like common sense, but I mean, how many times have we ridden an emotion and then felt like that was what it is? We act on it. And then in the morning we wake up and we're like, crap, I really should have thought about that before I committed to that, or before I, decided to have that conversation or something like that. So waiting until I'm neutral is exactly what I need to be doing in order to make a decision. I'm not meant to ride the high, like I'm meant to ride the highs and the lows, but I'm not meant to make decisions based on the highs and the lows, because again, feelings aren't facts. Now, I've been told my whole entire life that I'm too sensitive, that I'm, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve too much. Mm-hmm. They could see my emotions too much. And so when you're told that your whole entire life, you think something's wrong with you and you're like, well, why can't I be stronger in my emotions? Why can't I just be stabilized in my emotions? But I'm not meant to be that way. I'm meant to ride the emotions. And that is kind of a superpower when you look at it, because like you get to literally ride the highs and the lows of life. And a lot of people don't get to do that. So when you look at it as a benefit and realize like, and you understand how you're supposed to make decisions based on that, then it becomes really liberating.
You know, it's interesting, this idea of liberation through acknowledging and writing what your soul is supposed to do. But then you said something very interesting. You said, I'm supposed to ride the emotions, but I'm not supposed to make decisions based on them. So there's a certain amount of self-awareness, it sounds like, that you need to have in order to understand that about yourself. How do you build that? How do you build that self? Because to me, self-awareness or awareness of something is the first step, because you can't do anything about it until you're aware of it. So how do you build that awareness? What are the steps that you went through to get to that place where now you're aware of when you are having those emotional highs and lows, and also knowing, okay, I have to make this decision. It's time to make this decision, but I can't make it while my emotions are so much in play. I'm going to wait until I'm, as you said, neutral. Where does that come from? Where does that skill set come from? How do you build it and how do you nurture it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, over time.
Fair enough.
What I say to people is that their wave is, it's different for everyone, right? So, I mean, obviously when it comes to making smaller decisions, like do you want scrambled eggs or pancakes for breakfast? Like those are not decisions that you need to like really ride out and wait a couple hours to do, decide. Mm-hmm. But it's when you're making the bigger decisions in your life. So a lot of the times, like for me, for example, I'm a TV producer by day. Mm-hmm. So that's my career. That's the career that I've chosen. I love it. I'm happy in it. Now contracts get presented to me often, mm-hmm. and some of them sound so super cool right at the beginning. And I'm just like, fuck yeah, I want to do that. Sorry. Can I swear on this
podcast? Absolutely. It just, okay. Absolutely. This is, remember, this is a chat between two new friends, and yeah. I swear all the time too. So we're good.
So a lot of the time something will come in and you're super, super excited about it. And that's me riding the high wave and being like, oh my God, of course, like who wouldn't want to do something like this? Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. And then the wave comes down. And for me, I've learned that it takes about, I would say about 5 days for my wave to officially, like for me to feel neutral about something. Now that means that you're not either too excited or too upset about something, and you're able to make a decision and kind of a clearer mind without your emotions taking over. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've thought about it for a couple of days and I realize, okay, well that would actually take me away from my family for a really long time, or you know, I don't really want to commute 2 hours a day or whatever the situation might be. Now I'm looking at the bigger picture instead of just like the tiny thing. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that job's actually not for me because I like being at home with my family. And I don't want to be gone for 3 weeks out of the month, every month. And, you know, so now I'm making a decision based on my neutral decision as opposed to my high. And it works the same way for my low. So if someone makes a comment at me and I'm triggered or something and I feel, oh my gosh, why did you make that comment? Let me, like, I need to talk this out with you right now. And then maybe, you know, you go to sleep and then you wake up and you realize, I actually didn't care that they made that comment. Like, it didn't bother me. It bothered me. It triggered me in that way. And I acted on my triggers as opposed to how I'm actually feeling. Like when I actually think about it in a neutral, clear state, okay, I could see both sides of the situation. I could see where you were coming from making that comment. And it doesn't bother me as much as I made it seem like it did. Mm-hmm. So now I'm neutral and I could think about something and have a conversation with a neutral mind as opposed to going in super high, flared up, like ready to go, and then realizing in a couple days, like, oh man, I totally overreacted and I didn't mean to do that. So when things get presented at me now, I just notice it. I just notice how I feel. And then I usually say something like, if I'm triggered or if I'm angry, you know, there's a lot of times where I'm like, you know, I wake up and I'm kind of just like trying to process things and maybe I'm overthinking things. And I just tell my boyfriend or my significant other, like, just give me some time. Like, I'll snap out of it. I just need to go for a run, or I just need to go for a walk and listen to a podcast. I can't tell you why I'm feeling this way. Just give me some time and I'll come back around. And he understands that about me. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if I'm really excited about something, I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds super cool. Can I let you know in a couple of days what my answer is? And then, you know, that gives you time to not be attached to the emotion in a couple of days.
I'm taking a break to tell you about the High End Gaming Podcast. High End Gaming is a comedy podcast for video game lovers and the passionate aging gamer who no longer has time to grind. Video game experts Machine and DeSleep God dive deep into the art of specific games lore and their favorite memories of gaming's past. Any true gamer knows video games are outrageous, emotional masterpieces that in many ways affect our minds, our lives, and infiltrate our dreams. Check out High End Gaming Podcast. May all your gaming be high end. And now let's get back to the show. It makes a lot of sense. And I love that you're so self-aware about it. My husband and I have a similar thing. When we're having an argument, the quality that we've figured out we need is he needs time. He's like you. He needs time. Whereas I'm a hash it out now person.
Yeah.
But him telling me he needed time didn't work. What worked was a set time. So he'd say, I need to come back later. Would 6 o'clock be good for you?
Exactly.
And
so, yeah, people with emotional authorities, it takes them longer to process things. And I realized that about myself because the people who aren't emotional authorities, and you find out later, I mean, now I know everyone in my life's human design, but they very much have the same, like, I don't understand why you can't just understand this, or I don't understand why you can't process this quicker. Like, I didn't like, and then if like, that's kind of how it is in an argument. And it's just like, I understand where you're coming from. I just need some time to sit with this before I go ahead and make a decision based on my emotion. You know, I need to feel neutral about it before I'm either too sad or too mad or too happy or too whatever. I need to bring myself back down to reality. And that does take time for emotional authorities. And that's why emotional authorities tend to feel like they're too sensitive, or maybe they're overreacting or overthinking. Mm-hmm. And so when they understand this about themselves and they understand that they need to ride the wave in order to be clear, I could see it turn and process in people's eye. Like, I could see it when I'm giving a reading like that, it snaps in them. And it's so nice for them to, like, when you're allowing yourself to give yourself permission for that, then it becomes beautiful, because that's what human design is. It's an energetic way of living in a way that works for you. And it might go against what other people think, and it might go against what society wants you to do. But when you're living in a way that feels energetically aligned to you, then things just work out better for you.
That's a lovely idea. I think that's terrific. And let me ask you, though, this idea of living in the way that works best for you. What happens when what's best for you isn't what's best for the people you're closest to? Like, for example, my husband needing time, he used to just walk out of the house, you know, getting a little personal here. He used to just walk out of the house, and it would make me really upset because I was like, I feel like I'm holding this bag of emotion and I don't have anywhere to put it. And so when we figured out that what I needed from him, he needed time and I could give him time, but what I needed from him was a set time that he could come back and we would talk about it. Then I'd go, okay, I feel like I'm being heard, blah, blah, blah. And it worked out very well. But what happens when you don't have that sort of conflagration of, okay, this is what I need, this is what you need. And because we are in relationship to one another, we need to make something that works for both of us. But what happens if you are someone whose human design is going to be counter to what your partner needs or what your family needs or what your close friends need? How do you navigate that?
Mm-hmm. So the idea is that a lot of the times, if you have it undefined and someone has it defined, you actually are able to learn off of each other and mm-hmm. learn like how to work together in a nice dynamic. Usually someone who is not defined in their emotional authority can help the person who has an emotional authority kind of make like understand how the feelings are not facts and understand that they can make decisions in the moment. Listen, it all comes down to the fact that if you're not looking after you, you can't show up for the best person for someone else. Mm-hmm. So if you are not, like, I understand that like time pressures happen and people want things in the moment, but if you're taking, you need to take your time. And for emotional authorities, that's a massive thing for them to realize, like put the phone down, do some self-care, go for a walk, do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And then come back to it. And even if it makes someone uncomfortable, they're just going to have to deal with it. Like it is what it is, because if it energetically works better for you to process something, mm-hmm. then in the end, that's going to be the thing that goes the longest way in all of your relationships. And I know it sounds selfish or however other people want to determine it, but if you're not doing it the way that you need to do it, then you're compromising yourself and you're compromising your energy and you're compromising. And that's how all of those things build up in a way that makes you feel stuck in life. And it makes you feel like you're doing something wrong. And it makes you feel like unaligned. And it makes you feel like, where did I lose this? Because I was happy and now I'm not. Like, where did this go wrong? So it usually comes down to the fact that you're working off other people's timelines. You're working off other people's expectations. You're working off of other people's thoughts of what you should be doing, as opposed to listening to yourself and realizing that that's not working for you. And how can I make this work for me in order for me to show up in the best way possible for me? And the thing is, when you start doing that, you really do realize, okay, maybe this job isn't for me because I need to be doing something this way. And this job requires me to do it this way. So how can I make a switch in order to do this in a way that energetically feels better for me? And then when they realize that maybe they can't, then they end up, you know, ditching that job and stepping into another job that works better for them. Or, you know, maybe relationships too, because like if people can't give you the time that you need to process things, then it kind of just like is one of those. It's like, okay, like you need, like maybe they are just not understanding this. And it's a harsh truth, but like at the end of the day, you need to look after you before you can fully show up to other people.
Sure. Absolutely. And it's interesting. It's almost like you need to pull back and get a bird's eye view of what's going on in order to be able to come up with that idea of maybe this relationship isn't for me. If fundamentally we can't figure out how to communicate in this way or connect in this way or a job, that takes, again, that idea of awareness. It takes that space to go, okay, this job on some levels is not working. Can I make it work? Or do I need to step away from it in order to serve the best part of me? And then this idea that you said that you show up best when you're serving your own human design first is in some ways revolutionary. Can you talk a little bit about how the practical application of some of these things, the manifestor and all of that, how does that work within a professional situation when you are faced with something that doesn't work with what you need? Like you said earlier, can I take a few days to think about it? But what happens when there is that actual pressure of, we need a decision right now on whether or not you're going to go do this TV show? What do you do then to serve yourself, but also show up professionally?
I mean, in that situation, I would ask, when's the latest you need to know? Like, I mean, 9 times out of 10, I don't really get offered something that's like, I need to know right now.
Okay.
Because if I'm being honest, like when I get presented something like that, the answer is usually then go ahead without me, because I don't personally want to ever work in a situation in an environment like that. So mm-hmm. I usually let that go pretty quick. But that's me. And I come from a very flowy type of environment where I just know the next contract will come up soon. So, but if that is you and you're trying to make a decision, I would say, what is the longest amount of time that I could take that works for both of us before I come to you with an answer? Like, how long will you give me to think about this? And if it says an hour, okay, I'll take the full hour. Or if it's like, I need to know in 2 hours, okay, I'll let you know in 2 hours, kind of thing. There are ways to approach things that it's not like you're coming off as argumentative. There's just ways to approach things in a way that works better for you. In terms of what each energy type brings to the environment of work, that is, I mean, just in general, everyday thing. So if you're a manifesting generator or a generator, you have your sacral defined. And when you have your sacral defined, that means you have the energy to go about doing something you love doing for hours and hours at a time. People could feel that within you and they're like, oh my gosh, this person's so magnetic. They love what they're doing. Everything's in flow. I need some of that energy. Give me that energy. They're the energy beings. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time though, they learn to use that. They learn that they have that energy even for things that they don't love doing. So a lot of the times it'll be like, can you do this? Okay. Can you do this? Okay. And they don't actually want to do it, but they feel like they need to do it. And so that a lot of the times they become people pleasers or feel super stuck, or they don't see the light that they can bring, or they don't feel super magnetic. They're not feeling the juiciness of life. They're not flowing. They're feeling like, okay, where did I go wrong here? Because I've just been doing everything that I need to do. And now I feel stuck. Now I feel I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know where to find that light within me to trust myself. And it becomes so daunting to them. So the first thing that I would say to them is, where in your life, if you wrote down your daily things, where in your life are you putting your energy towards something that you don't, that doesn't serve you? Now, I'm not talking about having like a couple bad days at work. Everyone has those. But I mean, like, if you actually hate your job and you hate waking up every single day to go to this job, then how can you either recreate an environment to make you like the job? How can you reframe your thoughts in order for you to like the job? What can you incorporate in your day, like the small little things that make you love the day, even if you're spending hours doing something you don't like, and you can't quit your job right now, or you can't find another job right now. And I understand that that's the case for a lot of people. Where can you incorporate what I call the Fab Four, like four things that you love doing every single day that make you feel so happy? And where can you put them in your day and make them non-negotiable? Like whether that's calling a friend at lunch, walking at 3 p.m. in the sun to go get an iced coffee, you know, like listening to a podcast for 20 minutes on your way to work. Those things are non-negotiable because they make you happy in your day. So you have to start incorporating things that light you up in your day, because that is what a manifesting generator and a generator need to do. They need to love what they're doing, and they need to be putting their energy towards things that make them literally go, hell yeah, that's what I want to do. And when you're doing little things like that, well then maybe your perspective shifts and work doesn't bother you as much. Or maybe you realize, oh crap, this is my purpose. This is what I want to do. How can I move closer to that? And then spend more time doing this. And maybe you are in a position where you can quit your job and find another job while you're building up your, you know, other dream job, you know, like things like that. Manifestors, projectors, and reflectors are non-energy beings. They don't have that sacral center defined. They don't have like the energy to work 8 to 10 to 15 hours a day. They don't have that hustle energy. But of course, again, we're living in a world right now that's very masculine energy, right? So people are making you feel like you have, if you don't put in all of those hours, you don't want it bad enough. If you don't do this, you don't want this bad enough. And that's not so much the case with the projectors, the reflectors, and the manifestors. Projectors are here to guide. They're more like the birds of society, where they're sitting up top of a tree branch and they're like looking down at the lions and the tigers, which are the manifesting generators and the generators. If they went down onto the ground and hopped around with those lions and tigers, they would feel like a really bad lion or tiger because they're small, their energy's not as big, like they can't cover as much ground. But when they're sitting up in a tree, those lions and tigers, they can't see the bigger picture. They need to know where it is that they're going. And they look up to the bird to let direct them out of the forest, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that when you're living as a projector in like that, I see from a bird's eye perspective how this project is going to get finished, how this is going to get finished. They make really, really great guides. They guide the project. So when you could step into an environment like that, maybe you outsource a little bit more, or maybe you, you know, you realize that your strength is not this, you give that away to someone else and you realize your strength is actually this, then that is how you can navigate your energy. For manifestors, when they're leaders, they're the ones that initiate projects. They can get into work and they can like initiate the hell out of stuff. But maybe they're just really good, again, at delegating other things to make sure the project gets done. And they could see it all the way through, but they're not necessarily the ones doing all of the doing all of the time. So finding things that make that flow better for you is the key to finding about your energy type and how can you use your energy in a way that feels good for you. Reflectors, they're completely open. They don't have any defined energy within them at all. So how they're feeling and how they're showing up is a complete reflection of the work environment that they're in. I always say, if you want to, like, if you run a business and you want to know how your business is doing, hire a reflector, because they're literally going to mirror back everything that feels bad about this company. If they're coming in like with low energy, or they're coming in and they're feeling like they don't really have, like they don't have the momentum to keep going, that likely means that you're creating an environment, like a work environment, that makes people not excel very well. So
that ties into the idea of leadership and whether or not you're a conscious leader and a creative leader, it sounds like. When someone is doing that, what kind of mental techniques could they be using to improve that, to improve that idea of leading well, you know, or being someone who is both a nourisher and a supporter of the people they're with, whether it's family or work, it doesn't matter. But what can you use? What do you know based on if you're a manifester or if you're a reflector? What do you need to know in order to make that the best it can be?
I would say learning how the difference of your energy type and what you are. So if you are a manifestor, then you're here to initiate. Mm-hmm. You're here to get the job done. You're here to start the job. If you're a projector, you have to wait for the invitation, because a lot of the times, because you're a guide and you can see things, people, you're going to want to tell people what to do all of the time, but people don't love unsolicited advice. Sorry to say, projectors. So like people don't like being told what to do unless they're coming to you. So, and then mm-hmm. it feels bad for you because you're like, well, they're not listening to my advice. Like, why do they not see that I know exactly what they need to be doing? Like, I could see their path for them, mm-hmm. but people don't like hearing that. So you have to wait for them to come to you. So you have to wait for the invitation. So when you are, and then manifesting generators and generators, they have to respond. So you get 1,000 things thrown at you throughout the day that you can respond to. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Even the littlest things, you want coffee or tea, like you get to choose that. So even from the very moment that you wake up, manifesting generators and generators, you are responding to life. Every response, like everything that comes at you, you get to choose in the moment, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that it might not lead to the bigger picture thing, but when you're showing up and you're showing that you could trust yourself, what it is that you need to do, then you can make the bigger decisions and you can respond to the bigger decisions with ease because you trust yourself. You know exactly what you want to do. I mean, how many times, even during quarantine where I've got nowhere to go, I should be doing work. I need to sit down at my computer and I need to do this. But really, I'm like, I really want to go for a walk. It looks so nice outside. But I'm like, no, I got to do work. if just go for the walk. Like, that's what you want to do. Like, just, that's what I'm being pulled to do. Go for the walk. If I feel like I'm being overwhelmed at work at my desk and I really just need to go for a walk, go for the walk. Like, just follow those little instincts throughout the day that you need to do in order to collect your energy back, in order to step fully into that.
Oh, I love that so much. If you need to go for a walk, go for a walk. And it sounds like you will be able to then get back to what it is you were trying to do and not doing very well because you needed a walk, even better afterwards. Is that the case?
Well, yeah, because I mean, I can't say that it's going to work out every time, but like, when you follow those little instincts that it is, you're letting your body know that you could trust it. You're letting your intuition know that you could trust it. You're letting, mm-hmm. you are guiding your life. You are making those decisions. So right. A lot of the times when manifesting generators and generators come to me and I can tell that they feel kind of stuck, I just tell them, just do nothing for a day and see where it is that you, where you go, like what ends up happening. Like, don't plan anything. Just literally go with your body or your mind of being like, this is what I want to do. Then go do that. And this is what I want to do. Then go do that. And try and take one day out of the month to really just learn how to cultivate that trust within you and see where you end up and you, who you meet and what happens that day.
I don't know if you've ever read Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way. Have you ever read that book?
No.
Oh, it's a phenomenal book. It's all about creativity. But she says that every month, at least, and if possible, once a week, you should go on what she calls artist dates. And yeah. That's where you sort of go out and you do something creative. You might go to a stationery store and look at their display of paper or stickers, or you might go to, you know, somewhere to sort of, as she calls it, fill the well. And it sounds to me like this exercise you ask people to do, just don't plan anything, just see what happens and listen to those little instincts, those little instinctive messages that you're getting, is in some ways a similar thing where you're asking people to get back in touch with who they are and what they actually want. But I'm curious about something. Can you, and this is something about human design, obviously, I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently, but I'm going to try. Can you have more than one strength? Can you be a reflector and a manifesting generator? Or can you have aspects of both or of more than one as part of who you are?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, there's so many layers to this question.
Never let it be said that I ask easy questions.
Yeah. So that's where the transits come into play that we were talking about earlier with astrology. So like I said, like the way that the transit could look that day or that month or that week in human design might bring out more strength or more consistency within your chart. So if you are a reflector and you're totally open and you're constantly picking up you're constantly picking up projections and limiting beliefs or even happiness or energy or all of the good juicy things from other people, your environment plays a very important role. And I didn't distinguish between reflectors, but they need to wait like a full, it's called a lunar cycle, so 28 days before they can make a massive decision. And it's strictly just because they need to make sure that they're not making a decision that's still being impacted by other people. They need to make sure that they are so stripped down and neutral and they know exactly what they want without picking up projections or thoughts or ideas from other people. Now, whether that takes 28 days for you or not, that's totally up to you and that's for you to decide. But there are going to be transits that happen within the month or within, you know, the day or the week, mm-hmm. depending on how the planets go, that might bring out a more manifesting generator side to you, or that might bring a more projector side to you. And you might have, if it brings out the manifesting generator or the generator side to you, you might have more energy to do things and you can kind of take control like that. But just know that that energy is not consistent within you and it's going to go away. So that's key to find out. When you learn that you are, I mean, I get this a lot of generators feel like they should be projectors because they feel like they need breaks and stuff all of the time. And that could be a lot to do with like the centers within their body and the chakra system that we talked about. Mm-hmm. you know, just because their sacral is defined doesn't mean that their heart is defined, and the heart holds the motivation center. So learning how to ride the motivational waves, that was a big thing for me too, because like some days I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, I could take the world on. I could take 15, do 15 things on my to-do list and more. And then some days I wake up and one thing on that to-do list is a struggle for me to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, it makes you again feel like you're behind. You don't want it bad enough. Something's wrong with you. And that's not the case. The case is just you're motivated one day and you're not the next. And you need the non-motivated days to really bring you back, to spring you forward into the motivated days. And I know that about myself. I know when I go into work, I'm like, hey, what's the bare minimum I could do today to just get by the day and still look like I'm doing my job properly? And then other days, like I can multitask, like it's nobody's business, and I can get 1,000 things done. And I ride those waves, and like I'm aware on those days, there's no point in forcing me to get anything done that day because I'm not going to do it. And if I do it, I'm not going to go about it with the right energy, and it's going to turn out shit. And I'm probably going to redo it tomorrow anyway when I'm more motivated, if that makes sense. So just because you're a generator, a manifesting generator, that's where the centers come into play and what's defined and what's undefined. So knowing that about yourself is, again, so liberating because you can make those decisions based on you and you know exactly what's happening within your body.
That makes sense. And it leads me to another question. And you're going, I'm not a bit surprised. So when you are thinking about this as somebody who is going into work or making a decision, is it possible, like you said, it can take you days to reach neutrality, or for some people, it'll take a lunar cycle. Mm-hmm. Can you be up on some things while you're down on others? Can you be able to reach decisions on something quickly or finish one aspect of decision making while you're still struggling with others? Or do you have to go, okay, I'm going to choose this day because in this point I'm going to be neutral about these things, and that's when I'm going to make all these decisions? Do you see my question?
I do. That's an interesting question. To me, I've never had an issue with my emotions mm-hmm. being the key factor to my motivation, if that okay. makes sense. So sure. Just because I walk into work one day and I'm like tired, dragging my feet, I wish I was at home watching Netflix. I wish today wasn't a thing. Like that doesn't mean that I'm sad, or it doesn't mean that I'm angry or anything like that. It just mm-hmm. means that I'm so ugh. Like, I'm just so like, okay, I'm tired today. Like, what can I do to make this day easier for me? Now, in terms of emotions, everyone has, okay, I should specify that authority is very different for other people. So you're either going to be an emotional authority, you're going to be a splenic authority, which means that you get more intuitive hits as opposed to riding the emotional wave. Mm-hmm. You either get sacral, if you're a manifesting generator or a generator. If you're not sacral, you're likely an emotional authority. Mm-hmm. But if you're not an emotional authority, you're sacral, which means that you follow the like, yeah, I want to do that. No, I don't. And again, it's kind of more of it's a feeling in your body at that moment. You don't really need to think and process that too much. So you have, everyone has different authority things. Now, if I go into work, and this is just me personally as an example, I am a manifesting generator, so I am going to follow things in my day that make me feel like I need to be lit up a little bit more. I need to follow those. And on the motivation days, I'm probably going to follow those a little bit more. So I'm going to be like, ugh, I'm going to take an hour and I'm going to walk around and listen to a podcast just because I really don't feel like working. Like, whatever it is. But that doesn't, again, mean that I'm angry. Now, I could be in the biggest motivation thing and be knocking all these things off of my list and be really in my manifesting generator energy, and then something can trigger me and my boss can say something that really just pissed me off. Mm-hmm. I could still be in that motivation. That's not going to take me down out of like getting shit done off my to-do list. That's more me saying, okay, I'm really triggered about what he just said. Maybe I do need to go for a walk just to get myself out of this environment. But I'm just taking note that I don't like what he said. Mm-hmm. I know that I need to approach that at some point and talk that out. That is not going to be the time to do it because I'm angry right now. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to go in and still do everything on my to-do list that I wanted to personally get done that day. And it has nothing to do with that person, whether or not I'm going to get that done. It just means, okay, I made a note. I'm triggered. I don't like the way they spoke to me. I need to gather my thoughts about that. And I'm not going to approach that in this moment. I'm going to give it a couple of days until I'm in a calm manner and I can talk about it without me getting upset. And that's just how that works, if that makes sense.
It does. And what do you tell yourself in that moment when you're like, I'm pissed and I'm angry and I want to just go at my boss for something he's said or done? What do you tell yourself to calm yourself down? Like do you know yourself well enough to know, okay, I'm feeling triggered, I need to step away? Or is there something that you go, okay, I need to really work it through in my head and really think it through and realize that this is not the best time for me to deal with this, that I'll have to come back later?
Yeah, because I'm an emotional authority, I'm aware that most of the time whenever I'm feeling an emotion that's not neutral, it's not the time to approach that situation.
Okay.
If I'm triggered or if I'm happy or anything, like, I know that about myself. I need to take a step back and I need to like wait. In those situations, again, I am sensitive. I am one of those people that you could tell that I'm irritated in that moment, or I didn't like what was just said in that moment. So I do have to step away from that situation. I know that within myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I need to take a walk. I need to clear my head. Like, I need to do something. Maybe I have a work call that's coming up and I'm going to take that outside on the way to Starbucks, as opposed to in the office where I have to look at my boss's face, you know, like little things like that, where I'm like, okay, where can I go to, like, maybe there's another working station that I can like rent out a room or something and go work in there for a half an hour or an hour. Maybe you call up your support system and you call up your mom or you call up your significant other, or you call up your sister and you say, this is so annoying. This is what just happened. And venting is really good for you to do too. But you don't take it out in that moment to that person.
I mean, obviously, and you probably don't want to take stuff out on your boss if you can avoid it. So you mentioned something very early on, and we talked about it a little bit. I'm wondering, the reason I'm bringing all of this up, like, how do you talk to yourself? What do you do for yourself in order to be able to navigate that stuff? Is you mentioned that you use NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. How does that relate to all of what we've been talking about? What role does it play in human design and in how you coach people after you've done a reading for them through NLP?
Yeah. So, sorry, I'm just plugging my laptop in here. They are different. But when you, to me, human design is more of an energetic way of being. Mm-hmm. And I can usually look at someone's chart and I feel like I understand them pretty well, because I'm like, I look at their chart and I'm like, I could see where they're blocked. I could see where their limiting beliefs are. I could see what they think about themselves without even knowing them yet. And then that is when I do enjoy doing live readings with people through Zoom or whatever, so I can get to know them before I give their reading.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times with NLP, it's mostly just confronting your triggers head on. So when you can bring those triggers to light, because a lot of the things that we carry around with us, mm-hmm, is societal conditioning, is that need that you have to, you know, make your dad happy before you make yourself happy, or you have to do this, you should be doing all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they all stem from limiting beliefs and stuff that we've picked up from kids, like anxiety triggers, like all of these things that have built up to make us our energetic coding, who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with human design, but I could see where they're energetically blocked usually before I meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they're interested in going further, I really do help them bring those feelings up in a way that make them work through it a little bit more. So whether that's journaling prompts, whether that's, you know, a visualization technique or something like that, mm-hmm, when you're forcing, you know, when you feel like you're forcing things in life, you may have a block, or there's like a messaging that your younger self has carried around with you that you don't even know. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of make that smaller. So it's really, really hard for a lot of people to step into their human design. And it took me a couple years, because I'm just like, okay, but like, how do I just follow what do you mean I just follow what it is I want to do? There's things like you're questioning, like, there's things that I have to do, or there's ways that I have to go about a situation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't get a choice in that. But the truth is, we always get a choice in it. And you're allowed to have conversations without being confrontational. You're allowed to voice your opinions without, you know, feeling like you're going to piss someone off or walk on eggshells. So it's learning like where you had those thoughts to begin with and how we can reprogram them. So that way you can step into a way of having better relationships, how you can step into ways of having better relationships with yourself, how you can step into ways of like making whatever it is that you feel scared of. How can we shrink that or reprogram it to make you step into you easier, if that makes sense.
It does. Absolutely. And it, what's interesting to what you just said is how can we make it easier? This whole conversation started with sort of stepping into the energy your soul has been called to. And to me, it seems like that would be both really scary. And once you start down that path, that somehow it should become easier because it's almost like you're reuniting two friends, if that makes sense. Can you talk about that process a little bit? What happens when someone starts, like one of your clients that you're coaching, that you're working with, you're doing their charts, what happens to the people you're working with when they go from that space of recognizing what their soul has been called to and starting to walk down that path? What are the emotions that happen? What are the processes that go on? If you can talk about that for a sec.
Sure. It's really cool. Like it's so cool. It's so cool to watch because what happens is like, you know, they walk away and like I'll give them a piece of homework that day. So it's like, well, if they're an emotional authority, well, okay, write down every time that you've been kind of pushed off your stool a little bit more. And then why were you pushed off your stool? Like what made you, like what happened in your day? Because I mean, there's so many things that can happen in a day. And then if I don't talk to them until once a week, like there's a lot of things that can happen. So they write down all of their things. And then it's like, okay, why did that bother you? And then you can usually get to a root that's small, like more major deep down. Mm-hmm. But then it's also like appreciating their wins. So it's like, okay, I had all these triggers, but I really only acted on one. And that's pretty good considering I used to act on all of them. And it's like, well, that's so amazing. The fact that you're learning how to ride your waves. Now I said my wave usually takes about 4 or 5 days. That wave can look very different for someone else. Someone might know within 24 hours, you know, how that's going to go down. Mm-hmm. And they know themselves, and you just get to know yourself a little bit more. I learned within the years that it usually takes me about 4 or 5 days. Like I might get super excited about something. Maybe it's a coaching package. I'm going to buy this for $5,000. But I know in that moment, I'm not doing that because I'm just really excited right now. And then it usually takes about 4 or 5 days to think, okay, do I really need that? Like, what is it that I really need? And then you get to the root bot, like, why do I need a coach? Like, why is it that I need this person to help me with this? And then you just keep going further and further down. Okay. It really comes down to the fact that I'm not motivated some days enough to do it on my own. Well, that's just who I am as a person. So they're good. Even if I hired a coach, I know I'm not going to be motivated some days. So do I really need a coach to tell me that? No. So it's just like having like those moments of like digging a little bit deeper. So if I can help someone do that on their own, and realize their, emotions or the limiting beliefs, through working with them, like, okay, you're obviously a very impulsive person and you act on every impulse. That's not your authority. Your authority and the way you make decisions is through this way. And I'll use emotional authority again, but if you have a splenic authority, you keep getting these intuitive hits. They don't stick around for very long. So you really have to like, really have to tune in to like what your body feels like when you're like, I need to do that. I need to do that. But then a lot of the times it gets to your mind and then your mind's like, no, it's too complicated. We can't do that. And then you let go of it. And it's like, you have to learn how to, no, it's very different when you're splenic from emotional. You need to learn how to make a decision in that moment. Like being like, this is what I'm deciding I'm going to do. It's come up enough times and like hints throughout, you know, signs or whatever. I'm going to write it down and then I'm going to figure out how I'm going to do this. And whether it's like pivoting your business or it's pivoting your emotions or whatever, like it's the bigger picture things. Now you have to learn how to trust that. So now I work with people to help them learn how to, what comes up in your body? Like, how does your body feel when you get this intuitive hit? And why do you change your mind? Like, what is it? Where's your societal conditioning that makes you feel like you can't just go for that? Like, where did we lose you here? And then we try and think back to the first memory of that. And then we try to reprogram it, if that makes sense.
It does. I love the idea of going, I work with my clients in the same way. In my coaching process, we talk a lot about the initial time. You know, when was the first time you felt this way? When was the first time you got triggered in this way? And let's go back and figure out what caused it and make friends with it and then tell it that it can be free to go because you, it's no longer serving you. The same thing goes for me with creativity, where a lot of people have what we, and I actually wanted to ask you what a limiting belief is, because I'd love to get your take on it. But we have these beliefs that we are not creative or that we are not artistic because somebody told us at one point early on that we aren't or that we shouldn't or that we can't. When someone has those kinds of beliefs that they can't or they shouldn't, I'd love to get your thoughts on what to do about that. And also, if you could explore a little bit about what to do about that with respect to thinking creatively, thinking with an innovative mindset, I would love to hear those thoughts as well, if you have any.
Yeah, of course. Creativity is, that's a fun little game, creativity. I think creativity can happen at any time. Like for instance, but then finding a way that makes it work for you, right? So a lot of the times, because I have my own podcast too, I would force myself on like a Sunday to write a podcast and then record it and then edit it and then put it out there. And it didn't work that way. I hated doing that. And then I was just like, where else am I going to find time to do that? Because like creativity doesn't necessarily, it's not going to come to me on a Sunday or whatever. So I've learned, okay, I'm going to bring Google Docs around with me everywhere I go. And whenever I get a hit of, you know, wanting to talk about something on my podcast that week, I'll maybe do a voice note or something like that. And then I'll go back and listen to it. I've learned that it doesn't work for me to, and this goes with the open heart center as well. That's where the when you let yourself flow, like, and I'm speaking from my own experience here, I don't really have a to-do list of what I should be doing on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I have a list of what I need to accomplish within the week. I don't do well. I don't release my podcast on a certain day of the week. I don't do well with, you need to have this done by Monday at 12. I do as an employee, sure, but I don't when it comes to my own business. And what worked for me with my podcast and what made me fall in love with it again, because I've fallen out of love with it so many times because it felt like such a chore. I literally will just record a podcast in that moment on voice notes, and it works just as well as having a microphone. You know, especially when I'm working 12 hours on set, the last thing I want to do is like save this thought for when I go home and I'm tired now, but I have to record it because I'm in front of the microphone and I need the microphone in order to make it sound good. Like those kind of things make me fall out of creativity. Creativity to me is anything that comes up at any time. And when you have an open head center in human design, so that's your head chakra or whatever you want to call it, it's your open head center. When it's open, ideas, you need inspiration from the outside. So you need to go to a cafe. You need to listen to a podcast. You need to spark your creativity from other people. And that will make you be like, okay, yeah, that's what I'm going to talk about. And then take your own take on it or something like that. Whereas if you have a closed, like a defined head, like one that's closed, you could just be sitting here watching TV and then just be like, that's it. Like I need to do this, but it has nothing to do with the TV show. It just comes to you that easily. And that's beautiful when that can happen. And then you can like write your little blog or write your podcast or write whatever creative thing you're doing, your business plan, whatever. And it just comes to you so quick, where it's like an open head center might take a little bit longer of time. So like me being like, okay, I need to write a podcast. I need to do a podcast this week. I know I have to do one, but I don't limit it to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday or whatever, because I don't know when that inspiration is going to hit. And I know that when it does, it's going to hit and I can knock it off in like 40 minutes and it's beautiful. That was a lot. Did that answer your question?
It absolutely did. I was taking a second to process all of what you just said. It seems to me that this idea of the different you know, whether or not you have an open or closed part of that part of you, that the headspace, if you will. There are times, like thinking about it on my own, I was sort of going, well, how does this relate to me? And there are times when the inspiration strikes and I'm like, okay, let me grab my phone and I'm going to record this podcast and it's going to be super easy. But there are times that it doesn't happen that way. And I do every, you know, Wednesday morning, I release my podcast and I might record a bunch of episodes. Like I did an interview yesterday. I'm talking with you today. I'm having somebody else Thursday. Now these all are going to be weeks from now before they release. So I know that I can plan that, but the inspiration for when I'm doing a podcast that isn't me interviewing somebody can happen that way. So it feels to me like because they're different, the different parts of my head human design might be more prevalent. Does that work? Or is it that it's another one of those transient things that you were talking about earlier, that things happen and it can work, but it's not necessarily always going to work?
Yeah. I think it could be a bunch of different things. That's the okay. thing. So when, like, human design is so in depth. So there's literally like arrows in your chart that will tell you whether you work better with discipline or you need to flow more or something like that. You work better mm-hmm. with strategy, or you know, those people don't necessarily need a business plan. They just need to go off intuitive hits on how to run a business. Mm-hmm. I think it just really depends on your chart. Like, you could be a manifesting generator with an open head like me. So you get your inspiration from the outside, and, you know, but with an open heart, you don't have like a timeline on when you're going to complete something. Mm-hmm. But then I also have zero discipline. So, but like I have good, like I'm consistent, but mm-hmm. I'm not disciplined. Like I don't have the whole, like, okay, I know what it is I need to do and I'm going to do it within that week, but I don't have discipline to sit down and like make myself do it at that moment. Now you could be a manifesting generator with a closed heart, closed head, and a disciplined arrow pointing a certain way. And then you're like, oh crap, you have all of those things. So mm-hmm. like, it could be very different things, but I think creativity is one of those things that hit you as a human when they hit you. And if you let yourself follow it, then that is when it becomes really beautiful, because we're not all meant to do all of these different things. I'm reading Big Magic right now with Elizabeth Gilbert. Mm-hmm. And she, like, she just, like, she says that ideas come to everyone, but they're not meant to be acted upon all of the time. So, you know, sometimes that idea is yours. Sometimes that idea is meant for someone else. And if you don't hop on it quickly enough, or you don't hop on it with that, like, heck yes, this is mine kind of attitude, then it's just going to go float away to the next person, you know? And I think that's a beautiful way to put it. Everyone is able to be creative, but if you go through your whole life thinking I'm an accountant and I'm not meant to be creative, then you're never going to do that thing that you want to do that's creative, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it really just depends on how you, like, again, your limiting belief on like what it is, how you see yourself, because that's all life is how you see yourself. That's what makes you either do something or not. So if you don't see yourself as a creative person, then it's very hard for you to pick up that paintbrush for the first time, or really hard for you to do that improv class, or really hard for you to write a blog, because you're just going to keep telling yourself that this doesn't come naturally to you when it might. And you've just never let yourself do it.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. I don't know if you know who Kevin Kelly is. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Okay. So he started Wired Magazine, if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know what that is.
Okay. It's a sort of a tech industry, the main big magazine about the tech industry in the world. And he talks about ideas in a really interesting way. And similar to what you just said, this, for him, he says, I have millions of ideas. They're coming at me all the time and I can't possibly do all of them. So if somebody takes one of my ideas and runs with it, that's something I didn't have to do. And I now freed myself up for more ideas. You know, he's not worried about it, because for him, he's more ideas will always come. And I think it's probably in the human design element that you're talking about. He's going to be one of those people for whom ideas are just in the flow, and he's not invested in manifesting those ideas. He's just invested in having them. And if somebody else takes it, that's great, because he will always have more. I always like that idea of keeping that creativity open, because more will flow, more will come. And when we talk about that with what you're working with your clients, if they have that kind of limiting belief about their creativity, what advice do you give them? How do you work with them to help them open that part of themselves up?
Yeah, for sure. If they're open to that, their human design will usually lead to me asking questions like, what do you do? Like, are you creative? Like, what do you like to do? Like, if they are a generator, a manifesting generator, and they're an accountant, like, okay, but like, what do you do that like actually lights you up, that like you do for you? Okay. If it is painting, that's amazing. If they think they nothing, because I'm a numbers person and I don't know how to be creative, it's like, okay, well, let me look at your chart, because your chart will actually tell me whether or not you have this creative energy. Mm-hmm. Now I bounce around a lot from my job. A lot of the times I'm in the logistic side of TV. A lot of the times I'm in the creative side of TV. My chart tells me so much, like, that I'm like, I hit every creative box. Like, I need creativity in my life. Now, when I first looked at that at a point in my life, like 2 years ago, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Like, me, that doesn't make sense. I don't get it. But art can be very different things for a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And it really just depends how you look at it. If you're an accountant and you've always wanted to open up a business, maybe that's your creative thing, you know? And even though it's a business plan, that is your creative thing. Mm-hmm. I love writing and sharing my feelings. In my podcast, I've done it for years. Even when I looked at my thing being like, I'm not creative, like, I don't know how to paint or like do any of that stuff. It's like, it could be very different things for different people.
Sure.
And it just depends on how you let that go and how you let, and then also, what do you love doing just for you? Like, without being paid, like, what is it that you do for you that lights you up? Because that's a lot of things for manifesting generators. And by the way, I just want to point out that, like, I know a lot about all of the other energy types too, but I talk about manifesting generators because I am one and mm-hmm. I relate to it more. But if you did come to me for a reading, I can help you in all aspects. But that's because they have that sacral that literally will go like, yeah, I want to do that. No, I don't. So it's like, if you have this urge to pick up this paintbrush and just start painting, but you don't do it, what's stopping you from doing that? Like, why, again, it goes back to, why don't you trust yourself enough to just do that? Like, why can't you just start and see where it takes you? Like, mm-hmm. what limiting belief is within yourself that's preventing you from doing that?
What about if you are, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but I heard what you said and I'm kind of going, but what if you've got kids to feed and bills to pay and the lawn to mow and all of that? Is it a matter of prioritizing then? What do you tell someone who goes, yeah, I want to be creative. I want to do these things, but I have three kids and all of them are under five. And what do I do? How do you guide someone who has probably limiting beliefs, but also, you know, some actual practical issues with being able to pursue their highest soul calling?
Mm-hmm. Well, my first question would be, what is it that you want to do? And then where can you fit that in, even if it's for 10 minutes a day while your kids are getting ready and you're sitting downstairs at the table, instead of saying, we have 10 minutes left, like, can you pick up a coloring book and just start coloring within the lines and just like letting your brain go for 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. You know, like, where can you do that? I don't have kids, so it's hard for me to relate to those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So I understand that people get super busy, and 100% I agree. Like, even if you don't have kids, you get super busy. You might have three jobs or something like that. But it, to me, it really comes down to, if you really, really, really wanted to do it, you would find time somewhere to do it. Like, I do know people that, you know, want to be, you know, a writer. So they'll get up before their kids get up and they'll write even for a half an hour. And then do their best that way, just because they know it makes them super happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I encourage all my clients to take these micro creativity breaks where it can be 2 minutes. You don't have to spend half an hour. It can be 2 minutes, 3 minutes, anything you can, instead of checking Facebook or Instagram or something, you could take that moment and write or doodle or something that will get that particular Jones fed, if you will. So I completely agree and I understand. And I know that I could probably keep asking you questions for the next like 4 hours. because you're such a delight to talk with. But I do want to stay cognizant of the fact that I know you have a day to get back to. So I wanted to ask just a couple of questions about, very short probably, are there any resources that you can recommend for people who are interested in human design, but and this is sort of going to whet their appetite, but they don't know where to go from there?
Mm-hmm, of course, yeah. So you can head over to My Body Graph. It's a design, like a human design website, mm-hmm. and it's a free resource, and you can type in all of your birth information that we were talking about, and it'll spit out your chart for you. Mm-hmm. And you might look at it and you might be like, oh my God, I don't understand what any of this means. But if you look closely within the site, you could see that every time that you typed on like a center or anything, it's very interactive, and it'll let you know kind of the thought process behind that. Mm-hmm. If you want to go deeper, you can of course book a reading with me, it's at byfeliciabaird.com, and you could see like my calendar where I book readings, mm-hmm. and I'm happy to do that with you. Or if you, I did create this free guide that you can download from my website as well. And it is, it takes you to the My Body Graph and it helps you figure that out. But it also gives you, once you figure out your energy type, it gives you, three ways to align to it today, and journaling prompts to help you go a little bit deeper into your energy type to figure out how you can align to it better.
Terrific. That's wonderful. Journaling prompts. I'm writing furiously to make sure that I put this in the show notes. And is there a, for example, you've already said your website, do you have a Facebook group or an Instagram that people can come and find you and follow you?
Yeah, sure do. So my Instagram is By Felicia Baird, mm-hmm. and my Facebook is Aligned AF with Human Design. Oh my gosh, it is so long. I was thinking of changing the title, but it's Aligned AF by Felicia Baird.
Okay, Aligned AF. So is that what people like should search on? Is Aligned space AF space and then By Felicia Baird? Is that all one, or is that how?
Yeah,
how
the space is. Yeah.
Perfect. And I'll find it. I'll put links in the show notes so that everybody has a good opportunity to find you. Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled that I got a chance to speak with you about this. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here.
Yeah, this was so fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And I have one last question that I ask everybody who's on the show. And it's a silly question, but I love asking it. And it is this. If you had an airplane that could skywrite anything for the whole world to see, what would you say?
You're enough.
I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love how quickly that came to you. You're like, I know. That's it. That was
you're perfect the way you are.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. That's terrific. Thank you again, Felicia. I really appreciate you being here. And I'm going to go join your Facebook group.
Please do.
See what I can see. So again, thanks again. And I hope that you've enjoyed your time with Felicia Baird. Check her out. Obviously, she's got such wisdom to share. You're going to want to find out about her and about human design and how that can transform your life. If you are enjoying the show, please leave a review at iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. And also comment and let me know, are there particular topics that you want me to cover to help keep building your deepest and best creative self so that you can succeed in your life and in your work? Until next time, this is Isolde Trachtenberg. I hope that you have an amazing, amazing day, and go get to it. Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2020. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, this is Isolde Trachtenberg, and I send you all of my love.